Good morning and welcome to the Father's house. All right, here I come. I love you. I love you. I love you. From the book of Romans. I love you. I love you. I love you. Chapter 12. I love you. I love you. I love you. Verse 21. I love you. I love you. I love you. There is a plan that God has. And in his plan is this. Because Romans 12, 21 says this. Talks about love. Talks about the way you treat people. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Whenever evil comes at you, you don't stop. You don't back up. You don't retreat. You overcome evil with good. Evil has been coming. When evil comes, you come with more good. So here's my plan. Here's what I do. Evil comes. Bad things come. Bad things happen. Here's what I do. Here's my response. Here's the response the Lord wants us to have. Good. I'm going to do more good than I did this past week. I'm going to do more good than I did this past day. This upcoming week, I'm going to do more good. I'm going to bless more people. I'm going to help more people. I'm going to pray for more people. I'm going to do more good. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. All right. Second thing, I like to get this out of the way. Your heart can be deceitfully wicked. The Bible talks about that. And there was a point at one time I thought I was so good and thought I had it all together. And God had to show me my heart. And my heart had deceived me. I really thought I was doing pretty good, but I was messed up. I had some stuff in my heart. And God had to show it to me. And I had to go and ask for his blood to cleanse my heart. And so now I don't take it for granted. I go before God as much as I can. And I say, God, cleanse my heart. Show me my heart and cleanse it. Because I want to be right with you. So right now I'm going to go before God and ask him to cleanse me. Father, make me whole. Make me right through your blood in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's a prayer I've been praying for you. This prayer is a prayer of hope. I pray that God would give you a gift of hope, that you would have hope. Hope is something that you'll hold on to and you won't let go. My thoughts, what comes to my mind is in the Bible, there's a story about a woman who had an issue for 18 years. She had a problem, but she held on for 18 years. And then she heard about Jesus. And when she heard about Jesus, she said, I got to go to Jesus. And if I just touch him, I don't have to talk to him. I just got to touch him. Hope. I just got to get to him. She finds Jesus. She had to leave. She had to find Jesus. And when she gets to Jesus, can you imagine? There's all kind of people around him. There's not hundreds. There's thousands of people around Jesus trying to get an audience with Jesus. But she stays and she fights through the crowd and she touches him. Hope. She had hope. I'm going to get to Jesus. No matter what the crowd is. I know I go to a fast food chain and I look at the line and if there's five cars, I lose hope. I'm like, oh man, I ain't gonna be able to get no food. I don't want you to lose hope. God has something. If you're seeking God for something, you're seeking God for a miracle. I am praying that you will have hope and you will hold on. Amen. All right, let's get into it. Hebrews 12 verse 6, it says this. It talks about, it says, the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son or every daughter or every one he receives. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And every son, every daughter, every one whom he received, he scourges. Well, let me give you the Van Arrington definition of that. Let me explain that. God spanks his children. God will spank us. God will correct us. God will get us straight. God will discipline us because he wants us to be right. And he put it to me this way. He said, Van, in heaven, there's no spoiled children. All my children know how to act. They know how to carry themselves. They know how to talk. They know how to live. When I'm finished, I will deal with my children. I will correct my children. I will correct my children, but I also will confirm my children. In other words, I will let them know when they're wrong, but I also will let them know that I love them and I'm for them. My father, I had a great family, great mother and great father. And my father was awesome. And he loved me, and I knew that. My earthly father, I know that. Loves me. But he would correct me. And when I got out of line, he would spank me. And when I was young, I didn't quite understand everything. And sometimes I get mad and I start fussing. And I'm like, why you spank me? Why you got on my case? And all this stuff like this. And because he wouldn't let anything just happen, just go in his house. And he would get on my case and I'd be upset and fussing. But as life went on, and I began to deal with people in the prison system and go on death row. And I come back to my father and I say, thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for spanking me. Because I could have ended up doing some things I shouldn't have done. But you corrected me. And I thanked him. I got saved October 10th, 1980. Gave my life to the Lord. I'm a newborn in Christ Jesus. I have a spiritual father. He's my father now. But he has spanked me over the years. He has corrected me. And when I was young, I didn't catch it. I didn't understand why God was dealing with me the way he was dealing with me, why he was spanking me, why he was rebuking me. I didn't catch it. But now I do. Even more. Because he was sparing me. He didn't want me to miss heaven. He didn't want me to make hell. And I understand it now. And so I want to talk about just a few spankings I got. And I got many spankings. I got plenty. The Lord spanked me plenty of times. And so I just want to talk about a few. Just touch on. And I know you're perfect. And you've never been spanked. And God never has to deal with you because you're so good. And you say, but that ain't me. I'm sorry. God has had to spank me. God has had to get on me. But it's been all for the good. Because he loves me. And now I know. More than ever I know. One of my first spankings. Came in an area of pride. James talks about God resists the proud. See, when I first came into the kingdom of God, I came with the mindset of the world. And God had to straighten me out because in my mind, it was all about position. It was all about position. What position you are in. What I mean by that is I use this illustration. I got these coins here on the table. And I got a penny. I got a nickel. I got a dime. I got a quarter. I got a 50-cent piece. And it, to me, and the way the world does it, it's all about position. What position are you in? You might start out as a penny, but you're trying to get to a nickel. And then you're trying to get to a dime. And then you're trying to move up the ladder. And as you move up the ladder, if you look back, if I become a dime, I can talk junk. And I can talk junk about the nickel, and I can talk junk about the penny. I'm better than them. And I can look down on them because I've moved up the ladder. It's about position. And I'm trying to get up this ladder. And so pride says, oh, I'm better than the, because I'm a dime, I'm better than the nickel, and I'm better than the penny. But it also says I'm trying to get up the ladder. And so I'm looking at the quarter, I'm looking at the 50-cent piece. And so I'm trying to go up this ladder. And I want to be like them. And so envy and jealousy comes in. Because I'm trying to get up this ladder. And I'm trying to make it. Because I want to be on top. And it's all about position. That's the world. It's about position. Where you are. In the ladder. But that's not how God sees it. And when you come into the kingdom, God does not see it like that. God does not hold things like that. It's not about position. Because if you get into pride, which is all about position, you'll be like Satan. And Satan said to God, he said, I want to be like you. Position. And that's when he got cast down. But it's not about position. It's about purpose. You see, God created all of these. And it's about finding your purpose, not finding a position. And if you find your purpose, you might be a penny God created. And you might be a nickel that God created. And you might be a dime that God created. You might be a quarter that God created. You might be a 50-cent piece that God created. But God created you. And you have a purpose. And so when God wants to do something that costs 51 cent, he needs the 50 cent piece and he needs the penny. Both of them are important. Both of them are needed. Both of them are necessary because God created them. And it's all about your purpose, that God created you. No matter what you are, you have been created and God wants you and God needs you and God has a use for you. That's why Jesus could say, hey, he wasn't trying to be great with the Father. He came and he said, I came to do the will of the Father. I know what my purpose is and I came to do his will. And God had to point that out to me. God had to straighten me out. He had to spank me because I was trying to find a position. I wanted to be somebody great. I wanted to be somebody big so that I can step on other people. That's not what he wanted. And he had to spank me in that area. Van, it's about purpose. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Find out what I've given you and walk in that. He had to spank me in that area. Thank God he did. I'm not proud anymore. This is humility. I do the will of God. I find out what he wants me to do and I do his will. Number two. Second spanking I got. You know, God is cool. God can speak the truth in love and he can talk to you. And he's spanking you, but you like, ow. But that really, you're hurting you, but he does it in such a way that you know he's loving you. And you're like, wow. And so I'm chilling with God one time in my quiet time. And I'm like, all right, God, what are we talking about? God, he ain't saying much. You know, he's cool. And, you know, I'm just chilling. I'm thinking about stuff. And then God just says this, just off the cuff. Says this to me. He says, Van, he says, you're a liar. And I said, what? You're a liar. And I'm saying, I ain't no liar. I don't like liars. I don't like people just flat out, bold-faced lie. And God says, you're a liar. I mean, he just called me a liar. And I'm like, I ain't no liar. And I'm going back and forth with God. And God says, he doesn't yell or holler or scream. He's real cool. He says, Van, you're a liar. And I'm like, what are you talking about? 1 John 4, verse 20. You're a liar. 1 John 4, verse 20 says this. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. And I said, whoa. And I started thinking about certain people and he started bringing up certain people to my mind. And I was like, well, God, I don't like them. I can't stand them. They front and they play these games and they con and they rip off and I don't like them. And God was clear. God was cool. God said, man, I understand that. And I asked you to like them, but I did tell you to love them. And I never told you to hate them. And I went back at God again. I said, well, I can't stand what they're doing and they're treating people and the way they do people. And even some of them in the church and doing all that stuff. And I can't stand it. And I ain't going to fake. I don't like them. And God said, it's okay. You don't have to like them. The Lord didn't like the Pharisees. He confronted them every time they came in his face. He exposed them. He showed them up. He embarrassed them. He didn't like the Pharisees. But he died for them. He gave every Pharisee a chance to go to heaven. Then in your heart, there's people you don't like. And because you don't like them, you've already cast them in hell. You say they're good for nothing. They need to go to hell. You won't die for them. You have already told them they're going to hell. Jesus died for them. He even died for the one who kissed him on the cheek and stabbed him in the back. If Judas wanted to go to heaven, if Judas would have repented, he could have went. I didn't like that, says the Lord. But I didn't put him in hell. If somebody goes to hell, they go because they wanted to. Not because I cast them in there. Because I love them. For God so loved the world. Then you're a liar. You don't have to like them. But you don't have to put them in hell. In your little hell. And I had to repent. I said, forgive me, Father. I'm sorry. I do love you. And I want to be a man of truth. I want to say that when I love you, I love people, even though I don't like what they're doing. I won't put them in hell. I won't say they're not worth going to heaven. If they choose you, they choose you. Second spanking. I mean, he dealt with my pride, dealt with my lying. Third spanking. Ooh. You might not know it or not. And if you hang around with me, you'll think I'm pretty cool. You know, I'm all right. I don't have an anger issue. And I don't. For 90% of my life, my 90% of the time, if you hang around me, you'll say, hey, man, it's kind of low-key. He's cool. He doesn't get bent out of shape. He's all right. But there's a 10% of me that when I get mad, I lose. Ecclesiastes 7:9 talks about anger is in the bosom of fools. And I can get angry. And I get so angry that I lose my fear. And what I mean by that, the smartest man, the wisest man on earth, he said, he summed up everything in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. I will get so angry sometimes that I won't fear God. In other words, God will tell me to stop, tell me to back off. And I'll say, no, I'm not. I won't fear God. I'm acting like a fool. Because a fool gets angry and will not fear God. And there have been times, and God had to come at me. I remember one time I got all bent out of shape and about something, and I got angry. And I was all upset over something. I don't want to go into, but I was bent out of shape. And God was dealing with me. He said, Van, I want you to let it go. And I said, no, I'm not letting it go. This thing upset me. It bothered me. I'm mad. And God came. It was like God came at me with his finger. And he put it in my chest. Put it in. And he got right in my face. He said, who do you think you are? Do you not know I'm the Almighty God? There is no other. My word is truth. I'm not like man. What I say, I will do. If I say you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. I mean it. You can't defy me. I'm God, and there is no other. Fear me. You're acting like a fool. He rebuked me sharply. That'll mess you up. And I heard him. I caught him. And I said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for acting like a fool. For letting my anger raise to the point where I defy you. And I don't even fear you. The Bible teaches, don't fear the person who could kill your body, but fear the one who could put your soul in hell. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for straightening me out. Because I understand. I don't want to be, like it talks about in the Bible, there's some who turned away from God. I don't want to be that. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you. And I thanked him many times. I said, Lord, thank you. You've taught me how to be humble. You taught me how to be truthful. And you taught me how to be wise, because wisdom is listening to God. A fool will not listen to God. Lord, thank you for your spankings. Because your spankings will keep me out of hell and keep me in your presence. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I love you. Be blessed today. In Jesus' name. Amen.